In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are you looking? Jesus tells a parable about two men who are looking in opposite directions. Two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector, both go up to the temple, both go up to the temple to pray. Both begin their prayer, God, but they're looking in different directions. The Pharisee, Jesus says, in our translation, it says he's standing by himself and he's praying these things. Another way that it's been translated is he was standing and he was praying these things toward himself. Now, he certainly may be standing by himself, but he is also praying these things toward himself. He puts it in the form of a prayer, but he's really talking about and to himself, telling himself how good he is. And his eyes are directed at other people and at himself and not at God. Directed at the evil that other people do and the good that he has done. And isn't that the way it goes? We talk about our good and their evil, not our evil and their evil, or our good and their good, but our good and their evil. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, not like the greedy, not like the unrighteous. Proving Jesus' point in the parable that he had convinced himself and those like him had convinced themselves that they were righteous. I'm not like the unrighteous. I'm not like adulterers. I'm not even like this tax collector over here. He's looking at others and he's looking at himself, looking at their evil and his good. And isn't this what we have to do when we're trying to justify ourselves? We have to cast our glance sideways at other people and compare ourselves to them. Our best with their worst, of course. But we have to compare ourselves with them. Because if we look to God, we hear God's law, we hear God's commandments, we hear God's will, we will never find ourselves justified in the face of that word. That there is no justification that way. The bridge is out. That ship has sailed. There's no justification by means of the law or before the law. So if we're not going to be justified there before God by his law, then we have to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to others. We compare ourselves as if God graded on the curve. See, if we could prove to ourselves that we were at the top, even if we weren't perfect, of course we make some mistakes, if we can prove that we are above everyone else, then maybe God will bump us up to 100 just for being good enough. God doesn't grade on the curve. God doesn't grade based on the best we can do. There is no justification before God based either on the law or on what we can prove to him that we have done. But he's convinced himself that he's justified by looking at himself and at others. The tax collector, though, where is he looking? It might at first appear that he also is not looking at God, because it says that he could not lift up his eyes even toward heaven, but he stood apart, far off. And he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But he, in fact, is looking at God. What does it mean when he says, have mercy on me? It's not the same word that we heard a few weeks ago from the lepers, who were standing far off, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is a different word for mercy. It means something like the mercy that flows out of a sacrifice, like the sacrifices that God had given the Israelites to point them finally to Christ, to the one who is telling this parable And he has the tax collector say, "Have mercy on me," in view of someone else's sacrifice. In view of the sacrifice of another, "Have mercy on me." Not based on who he is, not based even on his confession, not based on how bad he can make himself feel. Justified and have mercy based on someone else's sacrifice, someone else's righteousness. The one who is telling the parable, who willingly gives himself as that sacrifice, not so much for people in parables, but for real people, you and me. He gives himself willingly as that sacrifice, and it's from that sacrifice that the mercy of God flows to us. From the cross, the mercy of God flows to us. From his crucifixion, in light of his resurrection, the mercy of God flows to us. That's what the tax collector was looking at that sacrifice. Not himself, not others. He knew his own sin, but he knew the mercy of God even more. Now, first, it might seem that the second part of the reading about bringing infants to Jesus, that it has nothing to do with this. They seem like two different things, but in fact, it's the same thing, but from a different angle. Who are infants and children, and why does Jesus hold them up as an example? Because they're so innocent and cute and nice? Nope. Because they don't have anything to bring to God. In fact, what does it say? They were brought. They had to be brought to Jesus. They couldn't even bring themselves. They had to be brought to Jesus, and they don't come like the Pharisee, holding out all of their good works, saying how good they are compared to other infants. No, they come with nothing. They come helpless. They come with nothing to bring except themselves. Like the tax collector who brings nothing but his sin, and Jesus takes that and he exchanges it for mercy. Takes the tax collector's sin on himself, and then he lets mercy flow from that sacrifice. Infants and children, of whom Jesus says is the kingdom of God, belongs to such as these because they don't bring anything with them. They are helpless, and so he is their help. In the eyes of the world, they are worthless. He is their worth. Infants like a tax collector who brings only his sin, and God gives him righteousness. These are not, as you may have realized, the readings for celebration of the Reformation. You can find those on the back of your bulletin, and I would encourage you to read them maybe on Thursday, on the day Reformation Day. These are not the readings for Reformation, but this is the Reformation message. That we bring nothing and God gives us everything in Christ. That we bring nothing but our sin and God gives us mercy in Christ. Martin Luther's last words, written down on a little piece of paper before he died, in German and in Latin, he wrote, "Wir sind Bettler, hoc est verum." We are beggars. This is true. Like infants who have to have everything given to them, like people lying on their deathbed who know they have nothing to bring to Jesus, like tax collectors begging the mercy of God, like little children being brought, like us, begging from Jesus, coming in the scraps of our dirty righteousness, and he exchanges it for his own shining righteousness. Beggars coming before Jesus, claiming nothing but that we are poor, miserable sinners. Which in fact is nothing other than a paraphrase of what the tax collector says. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." What does it mean to be miserable? It means to need mercy. To be in need of mercy from someone else. To be a poor sinner in need of mercy, that's who the tax collector is. That's who we are. And in order to keep us from justifying ourselves, we keep saying these same words over and over. So that we don't look at other people, and we don't look at our good works. We look and acknowledge our sin, and then we look to the sacrifice, to Christ who has been given for us. How many times have you seen a confession of sins written by someone else, and it edges perilously close to self-justification? Well, God, I don't always do what's right. God, sometimes I mess up. God, sometimes I don't do the things you want me to. No, poor, miserable sinners. But sinners who have a mercy. Sinners who have a mercy from God, flowing from His sacrifice, He gives it. What are the very next words? Jesus says, "This man went down to his house justified that day. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I give you everything that is mine in place of the nothing that is yours." All for us who come begging at His table. And He doesn't give us scraps. He doesn't give us crumbs. He gives us eternal life in the body and blood of Christ. Everything for nothing. Nothing except His sacrifice. Nothing except His willing gift to us. Nothing except His grace and His gospel. This is the truth of the Reformation. This is the truth of the church. This is the truth of the Scriptures. This is Christ who is the truth, who will set you free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.